For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. I got Jay Binkley filling in for Cody today and tomorrow. We got Bink on a Halloween edition of the show. That is pretty scary stuff. Yeah, and coming up in about 30 minutes.
Never know what's going to happen.
Bink has a take about Halloween that I heard for the first time about an hour ago. And it is something. It is something that you're going to have to hear. I think it's absolutely ludicrous what you guys judge as well. Coming up at 10:30.
That wasn't very nice.
Well, it's a strong take. I'll give you that, Bink. It, you know, and strong takes are a good thing in this business. And I'll give you that. That's exactly what you have for us at 10:30.
I don't think it's a hot take by any means.
I think it is. Happy Halloween to everybody. Are you doing anything tonight?
I'm going to turn the light off and watch football.
So no candy bowl. Now, you're at a house, though, right? Neighborhood, are there, like, is it a cul-de-sac? Are there,
It's not a cul-de-sac. It's not a cul-de-sac.
You're not in a remote area or anything. Why not just put a bowl of candy out there at least?
Because some kid will take the whole thing.
Well, you buy a cheap plastic bowl. You don't put a nice bowl outside. You just buy a cheap one.
Last time I did that, someone actually took the whole bowl.
Just go to the dollar store, Bank, and get one of those plastic bowls.
Yeah, just get the cheap orange plastic bowl that you don't give a damn about that you're going to throw away probably otherwise because it's $1.50. Pour a bag of candy in there, and then that's it. Be done with it. In fact, they'll do a favor if they take the bowl from you. Then you're just done with it.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it.
And you don't eat all the candy, too. It's gone. All the leftover candy. It's pretty simple.
I don't know if I'll do that, man. I don't know if I'll eat anything.
It sounds like you just, I don't know if you.
We're going to find out at 10:30.
You might not like Halloween as much as I don't like Halloween. I don't care.
Both of you. What is up with this?
No, I don't. Halloween's fine, but it is the most overrated holiday of all the holidays that we have. I think it's fine, but I think it's overrated.
Well, you're going to like my take.
Okay, I'll be honest. I don't know what it is, Bink, but
yeah, Drew doesn't know.
It'll be
the best thing you hear all day.
All right, so that's coming up at 10:30. You guys can always interact with us, 913-586-7965.
I'm curious what they'll think.
Yeah, that's the Jay Southland Tozer text line. Also, we're streaming on video. You can check out Bink's camo Chiefs hat that he's wearing today, a shirt that says I like beer and maybe three people.
That's true. I do like beer and maybe three people.
So you can check us out on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X, all that. Wherever you social, you can definitely watch the show. All right, I want to talk more about Anthony Richardson and not the decision anymore. We did that yesterday. Anthony Richardson benched by the Colts. Joe Flacco, the starting quarterback, because there's a way in which I think this ties into how we should be feeling in Kansas City with quarterbacks in the league right now and quarterbacks to come. We all know the Chiefs, of course, are in a great position. They have the best quarterback in football, duh, and they already have the next 8+ years figured out, right? There's an advantage, of course, in that. There's a handful of teams that have that. The Chiefs have that with Mahomes. Cincy has it with Burrow. Bills have it with Allen. I think the Texans now have that with C.J. Stroud. Am I missing anybody? That seems, maybe Jaden Daniels, maybe the Commanders have that guy already, too. Maybe they're figured out now for the next decade. There's a huge advantage in that. And it looks even better when you talk about how much money some of these other quarterbacks that are not the guy are getting paid, and then Anthony Richardson showing you just how difficult it is to evaluate the quarterback. They knew he was a project, Bink, and now that project isn't even getting a chance to develop anymore.
No, it is the hardest thing to do in sports, and honestly, I mean, do you feel there's a harder position in sports than the quarterback position? I mean, of any of the sports, baseball, if you're looking, maybe we need a lefty to come in here, whatever, or point guard in basketball.
Yeah. Overall, I think quarterback is the
most high profile.
Yeah, I mean, with all the attention, the expectation, everything that comes with it, it's quarterback. Now, I think hitting a 100-mile-per-hour fastball is the hardest thing ever to do. But as far as the full package, yes, I'm with you. Playing quarterback is the toughest.
Yeah, it is. But it's amazing how they get it wrong. And these are the organization, the time they spend at college campuses watching every game, watching literally every throw. I mean, because if you're going to draft the quarterback to be your franchise, you're watching every throw. And some of the things are head-scratching. I mean, you go back to like Trey Lance, who didn't play at all his senior year but one game. North Dakota State, it was that COVID year where they shut down and played only one game. It's like, why take a chance on that? Anthony Richardson barely played at Florida. Will Levis was the real head-scratcher to me. Because here's, you know, two guys, two, you know, knuckleheads in Kansas City doing a podcast saying stay away from the guy that threw 26
concerns.
Yeah, threw 26 interceptions his last 2 years. That screams franchise quarterback to me, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. But teams continually make a mistake. I brought this up last night, Alex. I don't know how you feel about this. But Michael Penix, when he was drafted by the Atlanta, because Atlanta's done several questions, like Tyler Allgeier, very good running back, ran for 1,000 yards. They got him in fifth round, but then they get Bijan the next year. Bijan Robinson. Mm-hmm. It's like, why do they need back-to-back running back? Because they continually do this. They paid big money on an aging Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles injury and one playoff win. And they spend all this money, but yet they draft Michael Penix. Now, were they being smart? Were they being smarter than everybody else, thinking, you know what? The quarterback class this year sucks, and so does next year's too, by the way. Jackson Arnold, as bad as he is at Oklahoma, is a top five quarterback in next year's class. Did they say, all right, these next 2 years, we have a chance to get Michael Penix, let's do it? Do you think that they were actually smart in thinking ahead, or did they get lucky in doing it? But it makes sense. Look, now when you think about it.
I think there's a chance, though, that you always need luck on your side with this, too. I mean, that's part of the equation. You know, sometimes you do luck into certain things. I mean, the Commanders, I think they have a really good general manager in their evaluation process. They decided that Jaden Daniels was that option. You look at the Panthers a year ago. They thought Bryce Young was better than C.J. Stroud. It looks so easy in hindsight. It looks like, well,
did they think he was better than Caleb Williams, or was it because Caleb Williams went before him? Or they actually sit back saying,
oh, I mean, if the Commanders
said, like Daniels before Caleb Williams, I'm on record saying that.
We'll never know the real answer, but if the Commanders had the number one overall pick, I think Jaden Daniels would have not been the number one overall pick. I think Jaden Daniels would be in Chicago right now instead. And it doesn't mean that Caleb Williams won't end up having just as good of a career as Jaden Daniels. Right now, Jaden Daniels, understandably so, is getting all the love and all the accolades because he's been incredible. He's got a team 6-2 leading the NFC East and all that. I think, though, what you brought up with Penix there and just what it means for the rest of the NFL with the Richardson decision, too, is Ross Tucker joined us yesterday and he mentioned the lack of ability to develop quarterbacks now in the NFL. And I think there is truth to that. Like you're not allowed to develop quarterbacks in the NFL anymore. Now, the Falcons maybe have the luxury of being able to do that because they have Kirk Cousins, but that
kind of a homes him a little bit.
That can happen there. But most times you can't develop a quarterback. The guy has to succeed almost right away in today's day and age. And you can say it's a problem and all that, but like, that's the reality of the situation. I think some of that is because of the leash that is on coaches and GMs, which is a short one. You have basically like 3 years to figure this thing out, man. Otherwise, usually you're out.
It depends, too, because Troy Aikman was thrown right into the fire. Peyton Manning was thrown right into the fire and really struggled his first year. That's what those guys did. I mean, they were thrown right in there. Dan
but
Marino.
They don't give you a chance. If you feel like Bryce Young, people are already done with him. The Colts, I think, are done with Anthony Richardson. Like, that's what I'm saying. You don't have time to have a year and a half of quote-unquote failing. They don't care. You're done at that point.
Rodgers sitting behind Favre. I mean, luxuries. But it has happened before in the NFL. It can happen again, but these quarterback salaries getting so ridiculous. I think people are looking for that magic elixir with Mahomes and Alex Smith. Remember Flacco when he went to Denver? He didn't want to train Drew Lock. He didn't want to help Drew out at all. Like, he wasn't interested in that. And he said that as much. He's like, I'm here to play football. I'm not here to develop other quarterbacks. Which is fine. That's who he is, and that's his attitude. He probably didn't help Anthony Richardson out, to be quite honest
with
you.
No, and Flacco's plan is because I think some of it is that people view that as, you know, Flacco being an a-hole. Also, though, he's still playing at a high level. He views it as like, I can still play at a high level. I don't have to do that. I think it means you should appreciate what Alex Smith did more and more as time goes on. But just because Alex Smith did that, it doesn't to me mean that if you don't do it the exact same way as Alex Smith did in terms of being a true mentor and helping out Patrick Mahomes, I don't think it means that you're the worst person to be in the NFL if you're not willing to help the next guy. Like, there is still something to be said for you having to worry about your own job, right? Not some people are going to do that. Some people aren't. Alex Smith's a special person. Good for him, right, for approaching it that way. But I don't think because Alex Smith did that we have to view Joe Flacco as this terrible person that won't help out the young quarterback.
Yeah, I think it shows a little bit of your character, though. Like, how much you into the team, how much you into yourself.
In his mind, though, he's helping the team by being the starting quarterback.
I get that, but I think it shows that a little bit of Flacco. Like, I lost a lot of respect the way he treated Drew Lock in Denver. I really did. And that, who knows what the rest of the teammates think? I know that Indy, Michael Pittman, these other guys are, like, putting things out on social media, supporting, you know, their quarterback, Anthony Richardson. It can divide a locker room if the quarterback, it's not seemingly looked at as he has their back, that he's trying to undercut said quarterback. It's a bad look sometimes.
Oh, Anthony Richardson did this to himself, though. Let's be real. I mean, the guy tapped out because he was tired.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Quarterback in the NFL said, "I'm tired. Take me out, coach."
It was weird how he almost...
The way he could have done this without doing that, like Nate Taylor this morning, took his knee. He could have said it's his knee or... other ways he could have done it.
It's weird how he almost outed himself because, I mean, he wasn't playing good anyway. So I think that was part of the problem is, do you keep playing him? Do you bet that? All of that stuff. And then the whole head tapping thing. He almost put the nail in the coffin for himself for this season, at least. Theoretically, and the Colts have said, hey, we're not giving up on him. I think it's really hard for them, whenever they do, to go back to him, just given all of that has happened. Like, can you trust the guy? Did the teammates trust the guy? Is it ever going to be the same again as it was after that single play where he tapped himself out of the game? I don't know.
The good news is the Chiefs are the only team to pay their quarterback insane money.
Yeah,
it's not insane money because it's Patrick Mahomes, and actually win. Since any of the quarterbacks that gotten paid recently, none of them have won. Like, Josh Allen's gotten paid. He hasn't made it to a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl before he got paid.
Lamar
hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl, period, paid or otherwise.
Dak's not going.
Jalen Hurts went to a Super Bowl before he got paid.
CJ Stroud, we have yet to see yet.
Correct. I mean, so that's what's impressive. And that to me is more of a statement about the job that Brett Veach has done than anything else. About the general manager job, Bink. Because we know that the Chiefs showed they can win when their quarterback's not making a half a bill. And that's tough to do anyway. They've now shown in back-to-back seasons they can do it when their quarterback's making that kind of money. It's much tougher to put together your roster, and that's the challenge. And this is not meant to take a shot at Cincy, Drew, but that's what makes it impressive. We've seen Cincy. They have a great offense. Their defense is so deficient. Their GM, I don't believe, knows how to build a roster when your quarterback's making that kind of money, and soon to be Jamar Chase. And so that's a compliment to what Brett Veach has done. You know,
I think that might be the thing that actually really pisses off every other fan base more than anything else. I don't think it's the fact that they win. It's the fact that they've paid Mahomes and nobody else. Their team can't do what Brett Veach has done. Their GM can't do it for whatever reason. And, you know, they got the coach. They got everything that you want. It's just jealousy, I think, in a way, from every other fan base that they want what the Chiefs have and they know that they don't have it. And they probably will never have it.
You know, I had a change of philosophy as far as these quarterback salaries getting out of control. And I thought, okay, you know, that should be an uncapped position. You know, they've talked about being the uncapped, but yet capped the uncapped at like $50 million a year, something like that. But the more I think about it, the more I'm against it. Like, if you're rooting for the Chiefs, you don't want to cap quarterback salaries. You want teams to pay Dak Prescott and Trevor Lawrence and rename the stadium Trevor Bank Stadium. You want that because you found a way to win while paying your quarterback, and other teams can't. That's a certain advantage for the Kansas City Chiefs. The number one, they don't have to look for another quarterback, and number two, they've paid their quarterback and won. And all these other teams are struggling, and watch the 49ers. Watch what happens
Purdy's
to
about
them.
To get $60 million a year.
Watch what happens to the 49ers when they pay Brock.
I know it sounds nuts, like that dollar amount, but that's what Brock Purdy's about to get, guys, in the offseason.
Oh, he is.
Brock Purdy's about to get $60 million on average per year. And that's the going rate for a franchise quarterback in the National Football League.
And it's not helping what's in the college football draft coming in the NFL. It's not helping at all. Next 2 years is rough, and especially where the Niners are going to be drafting. They're going to be drafting in the 20s. So they're not going to have to quote that guy unless they make a move up.
And that's why there's, you know, we get into the whole who has more pressure kind of stuff we did yesterday. You know, yes, if the Chiefs are going for a three-peat, they'll have the pressure. But in general, the Niners, these last couple of years, they've had more pressure because they're not paying their quarterback yet. And we know they're about to have to do that. They paid Brandon Ayuk. Unfortunately, he's hurt now, but good for him that he got paid before the injury. But that makes their job tougher to try to navigate the roster. They paid Christian McCaffrey. They played Brandon Ayuk. Both those guys haven't been hurt. One hasn't played all year. You know, they can get by with that when you're not paying your quarterback.
It's kind of ridiculous because Jordan Mason can step right in, and Grindo can step right in as
well. That's a credit to Kyle Shanahan and that run scheme, obviously. We'll get back to this, I'm sure, a little bit later on in the show. A reminder, we're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes coming up around 11:45 right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. And thinking of Andy Reid, Jeremy Fowler over at ESPN, who I believe The Drive is going to have on their show maybe later on today, he wrote a column, I should say, about the Chiefs. He was talking about kind of what we're discussing here, the Chiefs' position to dominate the next decade of the NFL. And he went through reasons. He mentioned, of course, the quarterback salary stuff, but also the culture that they have built. But further down in the article, once again, we heard and we saw a reporter ask Clark Hunt about the future of Andy Reid. Now, this is, I want to be clear, Jeremy Fowler by no means is anywhere near Mike Florio for this. This is not the same thing.
He's credible.
Yeah, Mike Florio for 3 or 4 years has been saying Andy Reid's going to retire. Jeremy Fowler just simply was writing a really good piece, by the way, and I think Chiefs fans should read. You'll like it on how well positioned the Chiefs are. But he asked Clark Hunt about Andy Reid, and Clark Hunt told ESPN, quote, he has no sense Andy Reid will retire anytime soon. Also went to talk about Brett Veach growing in stature. Reed's very comfortable with him making decisions. Hunt went on to say, I set the vision, then let Reed and Veach do their jobs. We had Clark Hunt on the show when we were in Vegas out at Radio Row for the Super Bowl. And that was right when all the rumors or the one rumor was out there. And even basically the same answer that Clark Hunt gave then, which was, I don't have any sense that Andy's hanging up anytime soon. And that is the only person, the only reason why any of this is even consistently being out there is still from Mike Florio. But this will be something now that probably every single year will be asked because of the age. Although Pete Carroll prior to retiring or getting forced out was older. Bill Belichick prior to getting fired was older. You know, now Andy Reid obviously is at the top end of that, but he was younger than both those guys. And I don't even think we could say that those guys decided to retire. Bill Belichick wanted a coach. He couldn't get a job last year. Pete Carroll would have kept coaching the Seattle Seahawks. They kind of forced him out. So there's different. Andy Reid can coach as long as he wants. That's the difference here with those two other guys that were older as well. They were basically told, we're done with you. That's not happening here. Andy Reid's going out on top.
Look how comfortable he is in his own skin. He loves football. I can't see him doing anything else. He's got Mahomes. I mean, this is a coach's dream to have a quarterback to facilitate every single thing you want to do. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you go back to Bill Walsh and Joe Montana and writing plays on napkins in the middle of the night or at a restaurant with his wife, and because he knew Joe could do it, and he got excited about it. This is what Reed gets about Mahomes.
I picture you writing plays down on an Applebee's napkin. R.I.P. Applebee's.
Well, yeah, it was two left. Yeah, I think Chili's still rolling strong though.
Oh, that's your place. That's right. I forgot.
There's two Applebee's. I think Blue Springs and Gladstone are going to keep their Applebee's, but regardless, Andy Reid's very comfortable in what he does, and he's chasing history. He's 5 games behind Belichick in postseason wins, and if Belichick comes back coaching again, you know you're chasing him, and I think he cares about what his legacy is in sports. But look how much more relaxed he is. Do you think there was ever a time and day that Andy Reid would be on TV going, Bundarooski?
Commercial is creepy, by the way.
Did you ever think in your wildest imagination, Andy Reid, Mr. And you have to, it's a Veach question, you know, he's very, very, you know, Bundarooski. That shows you everything you need to know about how comfortable he is.
Well, he's also doing it for Mahomes. You know, way back when Mahomes asked to be in the commercial, and now he's getting a check for it as well.
2013, Reid, you go to him and say, can you do Bundarooski? He's not doing it.
It's the eyes. It's the Bundarooski. It's just weird.
I mean, I never thought I'd see him doing that. Never. But also, I think initially it started, he was doing his guy Patrick Mahomes a favor for the State Farm commercial, and then State Farm said, hey, you're actually really good at this thing. Why don't you want to keep doing it? We'll keep writing you a check, too.
He is really good at those commercials.
Hey, you know, even it's resonating. People like my mom.
Nuggies.
My mom love it.
That one's the best one.
Mm-hmm. My mom was wondering about her State Farm bill and all this because they had all the stuff. I said, Mom, they're Bundarooskiing you. Yeah. She goes, oh, that's right. Bundarooski with Andy Reid.
I think they're funny.
Even she knows it.
I think they're funny. I think every single one Andy's been in for State Farm has been pretty funny.
Even when he was on with Guy Fieri, that Dinners, Drives, and Dives, he's very meticulous at everything he does. Like when he was making the cheeseburger, it was down to the detail of what he was doing. But look how happy he is. Like you've noticed a change in him. I asked Mitch Schwartz this on the Fans Football Show. I said, think about Andy Reid. You know, he's all serious and he gets these rings. He's got Mahomes. There is a different difference in St. Joe when you see him like talking to the media afterwards than the way it used to be. He seems so relaxed. And why wouldn't you be with 3 titles? But still.
Yeah. What's your updated, like, I feel like we all had this question around the Super Bowl, now seeing that they're off to 7-0 start. What's the new range? If I give you, I'll say over under 4 years, are you taking the over or are you going under still for him to keep coaching? He's only 66. I've always said, as long as he physically can do it, I think he's coaching for another 5+ years. I really do.
I would take the over because I think 72, 73, something
yeah,
like
I mean,
that
I
for
just,
Reed.
We know he signed an extension this offseason. I believe that was for through 2028.
But it's who and what he is. I mean, that's the difference. It's not like, does he have all these other interests outside of football?
No, this is it. This is his life.
This is it. This is what he likes.
How old is Patrick Mahomes? 20?
29.
He'll be 30 next September, I think.
Okay. 2028 would put, through 2028 would put him at 33, Mahomes?
Which is their prime. And I bring this up all the time. Look at Steve Young's stats. He built a Hall of Fame career just in his 30s. Because he wasn't good in his 20s. Just in his 30s, he built the Hall of Fame career. Mahomes hadn't even got to that yet.
I think if they can get to five or six and it comes to 2028, I think if he feels healthy enough and good enough to do it, he might sign a 2-year deal and try to get that seventh one or sixth one in those last 2 years. I think he might just do it.
As long as he physically can do it, there's honestly just no reason to step away. You have the best quarterback. You've waited your entire coaching career to have a quarterback like this. That is still the one thing that I think is,
I'd say 23rd,
why you don't step away.
Can you believe
away?
That Joe Burrow is going to be 1 year younger than Mahomes in December? Can you believe that? Like all the success Mahomes has had.
You're going
to
get
Burrow.
Drew all worked up.
I don't want to whiz on your Wheaties here, but Mahomes is going to be 1 year older and have 3 Super Bowl rings than Joey Ballgame.
This is the thing, Bink. I think that a lot of people, because the
Macaulay Culkin lookalike.
The Bengals are never going to have a stretch like the like the Chiefs are having. They're never going to have that. And if they do, great.
You're right about that, Drew. They're always going to suck.
All I want is one bank. Like, Patrick Mahomes could...
He's only five games over 500 in his career.
Patrick Mahomes could have 7 Super Bowls, and that's great. But I don't think people... And maybe other Bengals fans feel
that
way.
I like a chili and skyline chili,
want one. I just want Burrow to win me one. Because, honestly...
He's not going to, Drew.
The Bengals have never had a quarterback as good as Joe Burrow in their history.
Ken Anderson.
The fact that I get to get pissed off that they're 3-5...
Boomer Esiason is better than...
Joe Burrow's a better quarterback than Boomer was.
Tell Boomer that.
I would. I think Boomer would admit
Boomer
that.
Boomer was at our snack machine last year. Would you have the balls to walk down there and tell Boomer that Joe's better? Would you have had the balls to do that, Drew? Honestly. Boomer, Burrow's better.
That wouldn't be the first thing that I said.
You.
That would not be the first thing that I say. I'd go up and I meet him and I talk to him and be like, I think we got the GOAT right now, the best Bengals quarterback ever. What do you think?
I will agree with that. I loved Burrow at LSU. I loved the team they put around him. Yes. But can they pay everybody else? Because Cincinnati didn't like to pay anybody.
I mean, that goes back to the previous conversation that there's only one team that's been able to do it efficiently well, and the Bengals haven't been able to do that.
Let me ask you this. Which quarterback wins the next Super Bowl not named Mahomes in the AFC?
In the AFC.
Which quarterback would you put your money on right now if I gave
Josh
you $500
Allen.
Bucks? Okay.
You
go Burrow. I know where he's going.
I
100% Burrow.
Yes, I would go Burrow, but I think Josh Allen's the one that makes. I'm on record. I don't think the Ravens are a threat to the Chiefs at all this year.
This is why I think Bill should fire McDermott
Allen.
And hire Belichick. Be with Josh Allen.
I think it's Josh Allen. If it's not Burrow.
Fire Zach Taylor and hire Bill Belichick.
If you ask that question about any quarterback in the NFL, I would say Jordan Love or Jared Goff.
AFC. I agree with you on Goff.
It might be this year. I mean, who knows?
The only problem with answering Goff in this question, even if we expand it out of the AFC, is it has to happen like this year or next year. He's not 25 years old. That's the only issue I would have with answering Goff. You're basically saying they're winning it this year, in my opinion, if your answer is Goff. I can tell you, Allen, and I got another 8 to 10 years of runway to work with.
If I had to bet money on it, I would say it's Goff because I think that they're that hot right now where I'd feel more comfortable betting on Goff now to win it than the next quarterback being Allen or somebody like
that. Is Zach Taylor his coach when he wins it, or is somebody else?
No, it's going to if he ever wins one in Cincy, it's somebody else.
I would say yes.
I'd bring back Rob Livingston. That's what I would do.
Promise, they got to wait till Zach Taylor's contract expires. Their owner's too cheap to pay two coaches at once. So,
the fact that they made a Super Bowl, there's the excuse for them to stick with him forever because Marvin Lewis, they stuck with him for way too long, and he never won him a single playoff game. So. Yeah. I will say this. It would be really cool to see the Lions win because they've never won anything. There's also a part of me that would be like, really, the Lions won one before the Bengals did? That'd be very disappointing in a way, too. Lions.
If it's not going to be the Chiefs this year, let it be the Lions, you know?
That would be a really fun story, too, though.
It's not going to be them.
It'd be a really cool story.
Not going to be anybody in the AFC.
Who's better, Burrow or Ken Anderson in Bengals history?
Joe Burrow.
I'm going to go Ken Anderson was an NFL MVP.
Bink, historically.
Joe Burrow's not been an MVP. Ken Anderson was.
The Bengals are going to make the playoffs this year, and he'll be the MVP.
They are not making the playoffs this year.
He was an NFL man. Ken Anderson. You're slighting Ken Anderson.
No.
This is recency bias you're playing with here. This is a Cincinnati
Anderson,
legend.
Legacy-wise, is the best Bengals quarterback, even better than Boomer. But on the field?
Boomer and Ken Anderson are in the clubhouse, man. They're in the VIP section. Burrow's trying to get in.
See, I still think that this is why the conversation around Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest. To me, he is the best quarterback that I've ever seen throw a football before. So to me, Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT, along with the legacy stuff. I get why some people say he's not. But if you're like,
Tom Brady
has the legacy, but Patrick Mahomes is the best. He does something that Tom Brady could never do, the stuff that Patrick Mahomes does.
That's Ken Anderson was four-time NFL passer rating leader.
I agree 100% with you, Drew, on that. The one thing I'll say with a lot of athletes, whether we're talking NBA or not, who's just more gifted and athletic and all that, that answer in 2020, in 2040, we're going to be saying that about guys that played in 2015. Like, sure. There is something to evolution of just athletes and science and training and everything like that. There is something to be said for that. Not with Brady Mahomes, because they've literally played during the same time.
Yeah.
But if we're comparing someone that played football in 1970 to 2024, well, of course they're more athletic now. I mean, just by nature, they're more athletic.
Sure.
They just have to be.
Who is better, Collinsworth or Jamar Chase?
Jamar Chase. Chris
Collinsworth has more accolades, though.
We're just getting started. Bink's going to just poke the bear all day long. For the next 2 days, Bink is filling in for Cody.
Oh, my gosh,
we're just getting started, and that's not even me doing this. Is going to poke and prod.
I'm not poking and prod anything. I'm just talking logic.
I'm here for it.
Ken Anderson was a legend.
Up next.
I know.
Bink has what I think is a very hot take. Maybe ludicrous take about
really,
today,
actually,
which is Halloween in Kansas City.
Very
we'll get to that next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You like this one, Bink?
Perfect. This is perfect.
I like the Monster Mash better.
This is perfect. It's Halloween. Coming up in about 8 minutes or so, we'll get to a player that I think has been misused and ended up being underrated somehow, some way throughout his career. I'll explain that in just a moment. But yes, it's Halloween. Happy Halloween. I don't know if you grabbed some candy there. There's some candy downstairs or whatever. But I guess I know the answer to that based off of what you told me today. And I said, well, all right, we got to make sure everybody else hears this as well. And I'm fascinated to know if people agree with you on this. And I guess I won't be stunned if some do. But
yeah, I think more than
what is this take,
our target
Bink?
Audience, Bink? I think, would probably agree.
The floor is yours. You said something to me today, and I think it absolutely fits in the hot take category.
No.
You are upset about Halloween. And why are you upset about Halloween?
I think it's lost its way.
Okay.
I think it's, and no offense to you and the Hallmark movie you're in and stuff like that. And I like how my dad worked his whole
less than a month
life with Hallmark, but it's slowly becoming a Hallmark holiday. It is. It's like Valentine's Day. Ooh. It's a spookier version of Valentine's Day. Think about this. It's not about the kids anymore. I am inundated with my friends that go out playing dress up on Halloween. The couples thing. It's become a couples thing. And you know what I'm talking about as you're driving down Metcalf here. You know damn well what I'm talking about. Your wife will come to your significant other and tell you that you're dressing up for a Halloween costume party. And you got to put on some stupid costume for the night that you don't want to wear. I mean, you don't want to dress like Scooby-Doo.
All right, Bink doesn't like role-playing. Let's mark that down.
The whole Taylor and Travis thing that all the guys and girls are doing. I mean, come on, man. And I see this thing on Twitter, and this is one of the impetus. Christian McCaffrey, who's supposed to be working his way back, is on Twitter dressed like the freaking Tin Man. All right?
So?
The Tin Man from Wizard of Oz and his wife, very hot, by the way, she was Dorothy. He's holding a dog like a poodle in a basket, and he looks so pissed. This poor guy
That's because the 10 minutes.
Happy wife, happy life. His this is all this is, Bing.
He's not happy. He's dressed like the freaking Tin
That's
Man.
That's because the Tin Man doesn't have a
holding
heart,
holding a poodle in a basket. That is not what this is about. This has turned into a glorified Valentine's Day, because it is. It's more about the couples now and not the children.
No, Bing,
it just is. It's about both of them.
What costumes can you wear
and dress up?
You can do both, though. Like
you
tonight,
can't do both.
For example, if
you're married, this sucks.
I have three nephews, okay? And tonight, actually going over to their house because I want to see what costumes they have. While they're going out and trick-or-treating, some other members of my family were at their house and we'll be handing out candy. That is fun for me as well.
But did they go to dress-up parties before, like the weekend before and all that?
Well, then, like, if I don't know about her, my sister and my brother-in-law, if they did, but they're people that have kids, the couple will maybe the weekend before, whatever, yeah, go to a Halloween party. What's wrong with that?
It's becoming Valentine's.
A
spookier version of Valentine's Day is what this become. It's become more of dress up. Can we dress up like Taylor and Travis? Can we Christian McCaffrey and the damn Tin Man? I mean, that poor dude looks so unhappy. Yes, his wife's hot. That's
He's
fine. She was
the character,
Dorothy.
Bing.
But he didn't look happy.
He's
it was a very unhappy
character.
Tin Man.
The Tin Man doesn't have a heart, Bing.
I don't care. Yes, but then his wife made him do this.
Hang on.
And whether he's a scarecrow or whatever, it doesn't matter. That was terrible. He's sitting there holding Toto. The dude's dressed like the freaking Tin Man, and he hadn't been playing football yet. Like, how is that going to go over to the locker room that your stud running back, the offensive player of the year, is the freaking Tin Man?
I don't know if it's changed all that much. As much as it is that with social media, we just see all this all the time. There were couples went to Halloween parties back in the day as
Not
well.
Not like this. This has become.
We see it more than ever.
This has become couples.
Miles Garrett forgot about the kids. Miles Garrett dressed up as the Terminator.
You know what? And I'm tired of that. When these players go dressed up in these costumes to the games. Come on, man. Just show up and play football, man.
I'm single as well, so I can say this, and you openly joke about it, so I know you're not going to be upset with what I'm about to say. But this also is why you might be divorced a few times, Bank. Okay? This might be why.
Every guy that's driving around right now knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, you know what? My girlfriend made me dress like a stupid Scooby-Doo for a night at a party, and we had to play dress-up for the night. It's become more about the couples than
the kids. If you had a hot wife, you wouldn't want her to dress up, and you wouldn't dress up with her as well?
If I had Christian McCaffrey's money, I would have said no.
Oh, my gosh.
I would have. You're offensive player of the year, and you're Christian McCaffrey. I'm not dressing like the freaking Tin Man.
Bink will be dressed up as Joey Chestnut for Halloween. That's who you would dress up as. You dressed up as Joey Chestnut,
yeah,
your boy.
You know what? I am right now. This is how Joey dresses, right? They say dress for the job you want, all right? The job we have. We're dressed like radio people. Do you play dress up with your wife, Drew?
Some people are into role play, Bing.
Some people are into role play, Bing. It's a thing. I think
save it for the bedroom, not the parties.
But what can you can be at the party and then it can lead to that later.
But it's stupid. Just go dressed how you are. Drink beer. This has become Valentine's. Honestly, it has. It's become commercialized. Hell, you can buy the candy and Halloween decorations starting in what, July. Now they've all switched them. I guarantee these grocery stores right now are switching to Christmas as we speak, getting rid of the Halloween crap. But it's
this
become
is definitely
more of a couples thing. Guys know what I'm talking about. The last thing you want to do is play dress up, especially on the weekends. This is college football season. You're sitting there dressed like the freaking Tin Man.
How about this person, Bing? From the 816, I have kids and a wife. We all dress up, and it's fun, and I get to sleep with my hot wife.
There you go.
You can sleep with anybody.
You don't have to play dress up to do it. You don't have to be Shaggy from Scooby-Doo to nail your wife. Be yourself, man. This is about the kids. It's about trick-or-treating.
I think there's a lot of parents.
It's not you going out dressed like Travis and Taylor.
I think there's a lot of parents in there. I think there's also a lot of kids that think it's fun and enjoy when their parents are dressing up with them as well on Halloween, and they get all go out and go trick-or-treating together. I think there's a lot of kids that enjoy that. They want their parents to be part of it as well. And then the parents, if they happen to have another party the weekend before, they can go and have a good time.
Will you admit that this is kind of becoming commercialized? Halloween is really, really teetering that Valentine's Day.
Of course it's commercialized.
But they haven't done this to Thanksgiving yet. They haven't done it to Christmas. You're going to be in a Christmas movie coming up later this month.
Thanksgiving is becoming the lost holiday that nobody talks about anymore.
Halloween's becoming the
couple's
deal. It's become couple's dress-up time.
But
you know what? It's not even scary. There's nothing scary about that Tin Man. I thought Halloween was about dressing like a monster and being scary. Not dressing like
But you don't have
Flo from Progressive or Jake from State Farm. Like, so, who the hell thinks Jake from the State Farm is scary? So nobody does.
So you're throwing shit at your boy Dusty then, because Dusty dressed up.
He dressed like Doug. Dusty's trying to meet a woman and all that. I get that.
But they had fun. They dressed up together. But if they're a couple.
Once married, he's not going to be doing this crap. Bink. Trust me. Once you get married, wedding cake ends nonsense.
Bink,
it does. It also stops sex, but it ends nonsense. Wedding cake.
Bink, if you dress up along with your significant other or whoever. It might, you missed this, it could lead to some pleasure. You might get the night, you might get some pleasure out of the night.
Why does it, why not
do
just
I have
let,
to play dress up to get that?
Bink, why not just let fun. Another, like, why, if other people are enjoying or happy,
nobody's
because
happy.
Of it,
men aren't happy doing if, this.
There, I think there's plenty of people
it,
that
no,
enjoy
they're
it.
Doing it just so, hey, can I watch the game this weekend if I dress up like Jake from State Farm tonight? Can I do this, please?
My favorite text so far. My favorite text from the 913. The Nebraska quarterback dresses up for like Patrick Mahomes every single day.
Well,
that's not for Halloween, though. That's
that he has every single day.
It's that. I mean, Macaulay Culkin is on Twitter dressed like Joey Burrow for Halloween.
Because he...
That looks so like stupid too. Yeah. How is that scary being Burrow? Ooh, that just terrifies me, Macaulay Culkin.
It should.
Go back to making stupid movies.
Jeez.
This whole dress up thing is teetering on Valentine's Day.
You,
it really is.
I told you it was a hell of a take when I teased it earlier during Fesco's show as well. I told you it was a hell of a take. I hope it delivered.
I think most men would agree with me.
So we'll get back to this, I'm sure, later on. In the show, but you must have just
913. I'm with Bink. I'm with Bink.
You must. Well, you're selective text reading.
A lot of people call me an idiot. But.
I think we just found out you woke up today and discovered Halloween exists because this has been going on for a while.
Yeah. And
so we'll get back to this.
I'm Mr. Turn the Light Off and Watch Football. The hell I'm going to get up during Jets and Texans to give a kid a candy bar.
The kids aren't trick or treating at 8 o'clock tonight.
Mom and dad are dressed up for Halloween. Yeah. His mom and dad are dressed up going, you know what? When I was a kid, I didn't even dress up. The one time I did, I got a pumpkin, I carved it, and I put it on my head. We didn't have a lot of money, right? So I wore a real pumpkin on my head. That was my, quote, costume. I didn't
let's
get into
back
it then.
To,
I didn't get into it now.
Let's get into something that I think you are a little more versed in than this topic. And that would be college football for a second. Because I don't know if you agree with me.
Thank you.
But there is...
And
what
my college
player?
Football analyst, who, by the way, forgot to come on the show last week.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second.
He was in the bathroom.
I heard about this. We'll get to that in a second. See if you agree with me on this. Watching college football last weekend, it was another reminder, and some of it I understand is quarterback injury. But is there a player in college football that has been misused more based on how good I think he is, based on where he's going to get drafted, than Missouri's use of Luther Burden? Now, last year he had 1,200 yards, right? 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns. He's going to go to the NFL after this year, going to be a first-round pick. Maybe his stock is falling because of the numbers this year, but my guess is he gets it back come combine time, and everybody's reminded once again what an athletic specimen Luther Burden III is. But this year right now, 40 catches, 450 yards, and 4 touchdowns. I understand Brady Cook's been banged up during some of the season, but I don't know if there's a player in college football that's been misused more.
No, I agree with you. They're never going to have a receiver like that. I mean, Luther Burden... I'm shocked he didn't hit the transfer portal. There was some worry about that after his first year that he was going to hit that transfer portal and go somewhere else where he's used. They used him last year a lot better than what they are this year. You know, they're still trying to incorporate some jet sweeps and just get the football in his hands, but not as much as they should. And Theo Weiss, you're talking about, you know, he's probably the 10th, 11th best receiver in this year's draft, believe it or not. I mean, he's not getting the ball like he should. It's embarrassing the way they're using him. You're not going to have that talent. Use the talent when you have it. You think Boise State's not giving the ball to Austin Jeanty? They give it to him all the
time.
In
fact, the only thing with them is sometimes they benched him in the second half, which was crazy, but otherwise they're feeding him. Yeah, in a year in which they can go to the college football playoff.
They're giving the ball and moot and do it. But yes, Missouri is mismanaging Luther Burden, especially when you have a quarterback struggling the way that Brady Cook is. It's not Brady's fault, really. At the offensive line, they're giving up way too many holes, way too many pass rushes against Brady Cook. And the backup quarterback situation in Missouri is absolutely abysmal, Drew Pine.
Yeah, and look, and they had high hopes and expectations. I thought they were going to make the college football playoff this year.
They had every receiver coming back this year. Yeah. Everybody they got to catch is coming back this year.
I thought they were going to make the college football playoff, Bink, and that's obviously not going to happen anymore based off of their loss this past weekend to Alabama. They're just not going to have the resume. They're going to go to a bowl game and all that, of course. But the high hopes, and yeah, a lot of players will not play. But how does this impact recruiting in the future? Eli Drinkwitz, the one thing that he can do for sure is recruit, right? Yep. I mean, the amount of talent he's brought in is insane. But if you're a top-tier wide receiver...
That's questionable when it comes to quarterback.
Does it... Fine. But in general, the recruiting classes Eli's brought in have been better than they've had.
Sam been heard. He's Tommy John because he plays baseball and football. That was going to be their backup this year.
He can recruit. He can do that. In-game coaching has always been the issue, I think, at times. But if you're another recruit, if you're a top recruit and you see Luther Burton having this kind of... Well, his final year at Mizzou, ultimately, because he's going to go to the NFL. Does that worry you? Like, would that concern you? Do you think that impacts recruiting going forward?
I think so, because you look at the talent of a Luther Burden, you think, you know, I really want to go showcase myself there. Look what happened to Luther. Look at his numbers this year. Yes, you're right. He's going to go to the combine, but he slipped. I mean, preseason, you know, Luther Burden was talked about, you know, being a top 5 to 10 pick. Now, all of a sudden, you start seeing him start to move into the 20s. Then all of a sudden, he may be getting dangerously close to where the Chiefs draft. I think that's wrong because I think he'll go to the combine. Things will be different. But like Teteroa and McMillan and all these guys kind of jumped Luther Burden as far as being a stud receiver. But, yeah, I mean, I think it goes into your mind if you're a recruit thinking, are they going to ruin my career? I mean, at least feed him. Because if he was putting up big numbers this year, you're thinking, all right, well, they're still trying. They're still trying. Because there's times where it's like they forget that Luther Burden's on the field. It's like, how can you forget that your most talented football player is not playing and you're not using him the way you should? So, yeah, it's going to be bad. And you incorporate that with some of the two-minute offenses that Drinkwitz has done and some of the coaching decisions.
Before the season started, I thought Burden could be a top-5 pick, top-10 pick. You were telling me this morning, because you were in the character concerns crew, way more into mock drafts in October than I ever will be.
Thanks, Alex. That means a lot.
You're welcome. I know you actually like that. But because of that... You told me that he's falling on draft boards too, or mock drafts, I should say.
Yeah, people, you know, the hot takes now have him drift in the 20s, and stuff, which is not going to happen. You know,
he's going to still go top 10.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think right now, Teteroa McMillan, better, but Luther Burden, I'd put number two. It depends on Travis Hunter. It depends on if he decides defense or offense. That's the best receiver in the country, hands down, is Travis Hunter. But yeah, Luther Burden's right there. I mean, the amount of talent that kid has and the way that they're not using him, it's almost embarrassing. You sit back and you say, man, how did we misuse the best wide receiver I may ever have at Mizzou? It's going to be hit the transfer portal hard for Missouri this year. They didn't exactly do what they did it for their quarterbacks, but it wasn't good.
Well, and it's not like the buyout is that big for Coach Drinkwitz either. I don't think the buyout is...
Oh, he's not going anywhere.
Well, I think...
They aren't fine. He's like,
it's a great place to coach. I remember Barry Switzer once saying, you know what? I love to coach at Missouri because it's the only D1 team in the state, albeit Missouri State is going D1 next year.
I get that he isn't going anywhere. Like, he's not going to get fired after this year, but I think next year he went from needing, he was on the hot seat last year, did great, was fine. This year, underachieved. I think next year he begins as his seat's a little bit warm. If they go 8-4 again or 7-5, I mean, they might say, you know what? You got to figure it out because they got Matt Zoller's coming in, the 4-star, one of the number 3 quarterback in the country. You can't waste him.
Sam Horn's coming back.
Yeah, you can't waste him.
And the bottom line is when you look at this team, you think, okay, well, the defense did emerge. Like, the defense for Missouri has been really good the last 2 years. Matter of fact, they went into
Saturday against Alabama.
10th in the country in points against. Obviously, that changed. But the running game, too, like Cody Schrader really emerged last year. He was the leading yards per game guy in college football. And you bring in Marcus Carroll this year that I think was a good transfer. Nate Noel, a good transfer, Missouri in the backfield. But when you think about Theo Weiss and Norfleet at tight end and what they have in Luther Burden at wide receiver, I mean, Brady Cook turned that corner last year. We say it about Drinkwitz. Well, Brady Cook really did. But when he's been banged up, when he's being sacked all the time, you got to find a way to get Luther Burden the ball.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get back into the NFL as it relates to the Chiefs, at least, and what one national analyst had to say about the competition for Kansas City. Plus, don't forget Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He'll join us for his weekly visit a little bit earlier today due to Reed and Mahomes talking on a Thursday with the Monday night game. But Danan will join us around 11:15 here on 96.5 The
Guarantee
Fan.
He's not dressed like the Tin Man.
I don't know, but I bet you he's a fan of the Halloween parties that him and his wife go to, or if they go to them. I bet you he is.
I bet he's not.
We'll find out. We'll find out together. I haven't asked him about this. My guess is he actually
he's the color analyst for
is willing to go to those parties because he wants to keep his wife happy. That's probably part of it as well.
But you don't have to
We'll get to that. Anyway, tonight, Thursday Night Football, Texans, Jets. There's implications for the Chiefs in terms of number one seed conversation. If the Jets were to upset, it won't even be an upset by Vegas standards, but you would say that if they were to beat the Texans, that would be great news for Kansas City. I say upset because that's been the story around this game and why it's intriguing for a lot of people is that the Jets are favorites over the Texans tonight. The Jets were once 2.5-point favorites, then it went back over to the Texans, and it's back up to Jets minus 2.5 tonight, despite the Jets being a 2-win football team. And this is the classic, like, trap spot. First glance, Spink, everybody says, well, the Texans are going to destroy the Jets. They're just a better football team. No Nico Collins, no Stephon Diggs. They're out there starting linebacker. Their offensive line has been terrible.
Awesome pass defense with the Jets.
Short week going on the road. Stroud last year was sacked 4 times by this Jets defense. Didn't have much success, and that was with a better receiving core in terms of health. He basically just has Tank Dell going into this game, and that's about it in the receiver room for them. This is the pros versus Joes kind of game where the public is all over the Texans, 80% of bets, and everybody else is the quote-unquote pros. Doesn't mean they're always right, but that's why the books are still giving the Jets minus 2.5. It would not surprise me at all if the Jets win this game, because that's what happens in the NFL. You think you have a line that's automatic money and it goes the other way.
Yeah, I want to see the Texans take some L's. And the one thing about the Jets, we know they're not going anywhere, but it's the false hope that keeps them going. Like, I don't want to see Mike Williams go to another team. I want the Jets to actually believe in themselves and hold on to their talent, because I don't want to see some of these players go to other teams.
I'm not worried about where Mike Williams goes.
But, well, not necessarily Williams, but Adams. And I think Adams will stay there. Again, give the Jets false hope. Give them false hope going forward, because they're not going anywhere, and you and I both know it. But the Texans taking an L, that's big.
I think it's going to happen tonight. I really do.
I do, too. I think the Jets.
I think the Jets are going to win. And for the one number one, if that happens, then we're down to a two-team race for the number one seed, in my opinion. Then it's Chiefs and Bills. Now, the Chiefs play the Texans head-to-head later. The Ravens are already done in the number one seed conversation.
And the Bills-Chiefs game looms large.
Huge, huge. But that will be the game potentially to decide the number one seed. If the Texans lose tonight, then I think it's the Chiefs and the Bills, and that's it from a number one seed conversation. Now, as we discussed yesterday on the show, if we're going through who out of the AFC are bigger threats and things like that, I still think the Ravens, of course, are a threat more so than even the Texans. But from a true number one seed conversation, we might be down to two teams after tonight.
And that's good, and that bodes well for the Chiefs. I would have actually put the Texans right there. Line B. A, obviously the Chiefs. The Bills kind of have put themselves on that line. I thought it was the Ravens going into the season, to be honest. So if it was Chiefs and Ravens.
Yep.
And then B level would be kind of the Texans right there, you know, on that cusp of being one of those teams. Can you back it up? Because I'm always curious, can you back it up from what you did before? Because so many teams we've seen be good, and we think they're taking the right steps, and they fall back. And the Texans, I thought with D'Amico Ryans, you know, his defensive acumen, I mean, the 49ers haven't been the same since he left San Francisco. Should have been the coach of the year last year in Houston. But can they take those steps? Can C.J. Stroud take those steps? And clearly he's going to be challenged. Because when you don't have a Nico Collins, when you don't have Stephon Diggs, guess what? You got to make wine out of water.
And I think the Jets will be tonight are going to be able to focus in on Joe Mixon and the running game, right? If you're not worried down the field, Tank Dell's the only threat at wide receiver tonight for the Texans. So it's way easier to match up versus before worrying about Diggs and Collins, or Collins has been hurt, but you get my point. Just having a full complement of the wide receiver room. And now it's just Tank Dell. And their tight end Dalton Schultz hasn't been as good. You know, the defense has been the biggest strength for the Texans, and they're without their starting linebacker tonight. So I think maybe it's a low scoring game, but I think the Jets will end up putting together a good enough performance to get a win tonight.
Rodgers has been drinking the cayenne pepper water. So.
Have you ever tried that? You should have brought some in today.
No.
What did he say? He's all gassed up. Is that what he said yesterday? I think that was the quote.
That reminds me of all those wild things my grandmother would have me try.
Water like and cayenne pepper.
That seems like something she'd call. Hey, try some cayenne pepper water.
Mm-hmm.
Mix it up and see what happens. See if it's that magic
tomorrow, doesn't sound good.
Tomorrow for Fan Club Friday, you guys just want to drink cayenne pepper water?
Why not?
No.
With some tequila?
No.
With a little tequila. There you go, Drew.
You guys can. I'll.
Usually we all drink the same thing, though. That's the whole point, you know?
Yeah. I will not drink that. You guys can, though.
If you buy the beer, Drew, then we can drink something different, you know?
Otherwise, I'm
bringing cayenne pepper and water.
Mm.
But okay. That Jets passing defense is ridiculous. Number two in the NFL, which is funny. The Tennessee Titans, the number one over across the board, the number one pass defense. It's kind of funny how bad that they've been led at quarterback position. But the Jets, That pass defense still nasty. 161 yards a game they give up.
Up next, we're going to hear what one national analyst had to say about that AFC race and who perhaps on Halloween is the scariest team in the AFC. We'll also have Dane and Hughes join us right here on 96.5 The Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.